I'm going to call us back into order, so I need all members of the committee to take their seats and let's move on with the agenda. Here comes Billy. Okay. All right. Without objection, we are going to move back up to the top of the agenda, and we are going to discuss ONCA 2594, an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch of the Osage Nation in the amount of $13,244,615 in non-tribal self-governance funds and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is still out. Is there a co-sponsor to this? Are you a co-sponsor? No, that our rules say that the sponsor has to be here in order for it to be addressed. Okay, well then without objection, we're going to move past item five and we will go down to ONCR 2519, a resolution to call for the resignation of Osage Nation Attorney General Clint Patterson. Congresswoman Whitehorn is the sponsor. You have the floor.
Thank you, Congresswoman. So I'd like to start out talking about this resolution, saying that this resolution came out of a conversation that I had with another colleague here in this chambers about after the membership committee had their hearing. We had a conversation about what this is going to look like moving forward. So there's two options here. There's three options here. Is to, after the committee hearing we had about the Attorney General's the deal that he had about his daughter or Jane Doe being removed, a child being removed from our roles. So we had a committee hearing on it, and I had a conversation with a colleague, and we had the conversation about removal, and that we had both been through removal trials, two of them, and how we didn't think that, number one, it was good for the nation, our people, to have to do that. I don't ever want to have to experience that again. Number two, the person that is the subject of removal, how that is so damaging to them. I've seen it, and I don't like it. And it disallows them to have a place back into their nation of employment or of an appointment or anything. They can't do anything with their tribal nation again. And I think that is very sad and very terrible. And so in our conversation, I said, well, how about I write a resolution requesting his removal? It's just a resolution. The Osage News adequately said this resolution is not law. It's non-binding. But it would be a vote of Congress to say we really would like you to tender your resignation. Whether he does or not is entirely up to him. So I think that what I've heard from the people that talk to me and the questions that I've had is, what's Congress gonna do? What are you gonna do about this? And so I believe we have to act in some form. And so although some people may not think that a resolution asking for the AG's resignation is maybe an act of mercy, for lack of better terms, that's how I view it. I would much rather ask him to resign than go to a full-fledged removal trial for him. I have nothing against Clint Patterson. I've sat in the committee. I heard the evidence. to me, this resolution, as it's written, it's not condemning. It states the facts of what happened and the admissions that were made in that committee hearing that's written in black and white. It's fact. So what this says is fact. It's not making any judgments about when, where, how, why, what for, what was he thinking, what was I thinking. It's not that. It just states the facts. So I'm putting this before the body of Congress, and it's entirely up to us how we want to move on this. Otherwise, I believe that we will get a motion to start the removal, the Rule 12 removal proceedings. I'm not positive about that, but I feel pretty confident in saying that that would be the next step. And that's not a step I really want to take. So that's why I have written this resolution, to put it before the body of Congress to request a resignation of the Attorney General. It's non-binding. He can say yes, he can say no. Another thing about it, I put a time component in that after the speaker signs this resolution, that there's 10 business days to act, and then after that's over with, and this resolution's over with. If he chooses not to resign within 10 days, then he's still here as our Attorney General. So that's it in a nutshell. Thank you for letting me speak to this, Congresswoman. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. Any member of the committee, Congressman King?
Yeah, thanks, Chair. So we have laws that pertain to the Attorney General, so I want to bring up Osage Law 3-106. There's some requirements: be a member of a federally recognized American Indian tribe or tribal nation, have reached 30 years of age. Okay, I want to focus on the third one. Be a licensed attorney in good standing in the state of Oklahoma, be eligible for admittance, and become admitted to practice in the Federal District Courts of Oklahoma and the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals, and only become a member of the Osage Nation Bar Association upon taking the oath of office in accordance with the Article 9 of the Osage Nation Constitution. I'm glad Mr. Patterson's here. Mr. Patterson, are you currently admitted to practice in all the Federal District Courts of Oklahoma?
Go ahead.
Yes, I am currently.
Okay, thank you.
Congresswoman Revert.
Do we have a time limit on this resolution? Are we only talking about it for 15 minutes, 10 minutes?
No, we went to the budgets, but no one co-sponsored with you, so we moved on.
Yeah, Scott's a co-sponsor on most of them. Anyway, okay, so do we have a time limit on this resolution?
Yeah, we are going to have a time limit on it. We're gonna break this agenda up. We can come back to it, but we can discuss for 30 minutes, and then if we are still not at a place where anyone wants to make motions, we'll go up to budgets, and we will get through as many as we can. And in the event that we still have time left over until 5 o'clock, we can come back to it.
Okay, so we're gonna, on this resolution, so a couple of points to it. The first point, I didn't feel that the membership committee found that there were strong enough evidence on the first part of your resolution. I didn't find that that's what they brought forward. I do not see a report from that membership committee still. And I may be, you know, behind in my email, so forgive me, but I hadn't seen that report yet. And if so, please, somebody, I would hope that'd be a support doc here where we could talk about that. Also, secondly, because I wasn't here at the time, on the qualification piece that Congressman Keene brought up, how is it, well, did the AG get appointed and confirmed if he wasn't qualified at that time by the chief or in Congress at that time? And I'm just wondering, because a lot of those folks that voted are still sitting here. So I'm curious as to, bring me back to that time period when the AG was Mr. Patterson's name was sent down, and he was vetted in committee. And at some point, somebody said, guess what? He's not meeting the qualifications here, but we're going to vote. And he got moved through. So my question is, how was it that we were able to confirm an unqualified attorney general? And I'm saying take Mr. Patterson's name out of it, but at that time, well, I guess we can't, but how did he even get through to be sitting where he is now?
Congresswoman Whitehorn?
That's why I was a no vote on his confirmation. It's up to this body. We can say yes or we can say no for qualifications on people. I voted no.
So Congresswoman Lemon is outside, but this came up in conversation the other day when we were all here. I believe you were here. She said, and I do recall that Congressman Potts voted no for that reason. I could not recall, but Congresswoman Lemon did recall during the confirmation process when Clint had the ability to stand at the podium, that it was an issue and that it was a very simple, we all know this to be true, all of us sitting here, very simple process. Submit the paperwork where it needs to go, and then you will be qualified by definition of being able to represent us in district court in Denver. And he said he would. And I don't recall that. That's so many years ago. But Congresswoman Lemon did. And she said, I brought that up. And he said, no, I'm not, but I will submit the paperwork and get that done. And that is how. So you're asking the question, and that's the answer. No one may like that answer, but the answer to your question, I'm giving it to you. He said he would do it, and up until pretty recently, because at some point there were a couple of years, Clint, I don't know how long you went and didn't submit your paperwork to everywhere it needed to go, but it was a while. So there's your answer. Go ahead.
Okay, thank you. And then my other question, again, because I wasn't here, what was the intent of that language being put into the law as it established that position for the AG with those certain courts? And you guys may not have been here at that time, but I was curious about why that was also the language that you felt that the Congress and she felt was necessary in code to require AG to be in all of those courts.
I don't have the answer to that, and I don't think there's anyone on Congress that was there when that was all written. You'd have to ask the first Congress who built everything from the ground up, and they felt, for whatever reason, that it was necessary. Congressman King?
Well, I think just being an attorney, it'd be kind of intuitive because we do have federal trust property. You know, our historic preservation deals with things that are protected by federal law, so the jurisdiction would be federal. So that's why you would help me out here, counselors. that's probably the rationale behind, you know, having them licensed in every, because like a hypothetical would be, say there's remains, Osage remains, like, you know, in Western Oklahoma or something, that's gonna be a federal jurisdiction issue.
Congresswoman Revard?
Okay, thank you. Because I, that's not my realm. I was just curious, like, what was the intent of listing out those courts? And again, I get it. You want that your AG to be able to serve in all these areas, of course. But yeah, to me, that would have been through your confirmation period. But okay, so here we are. We've confirmed an AG, appointed and confirmed an AG that wasn't qualified from the get-go. Sorry, Clint. I don't mean that literally. I'm just, as far as the law goes, because you're not qualified in that you haven't become a member of all these courts. The other side of it, in listening to the hearing with the membership, the investigator clearly said, I mean, straight off the bat, I do not find any, there was no evidence provided to show that there was any, I guess, I don't want to say negligence, crime, whatever have you, the investigator that was hired by this body clearly said that. Again, I'm waiting on the report. Are you saying the report was sent out? Okay.
Congresswoman, we've had that for
okay. Well,
we've had that for a very long time.
I wanted to make sure that is the membership committees, though. You know how when we had the gaming hearing, that's their report out.
Was that a question to someone?
Yeah. So I'm just saying that was just like the report that was sent out after the gaming. You know when we had the hearing.
Yes, that's what
I'm making sure is that that's the report everybody's referencing, and because that's the one that I was like, okay. Then that report that I read too, it says that in there as well. Then I think if that's the report, it clearly says that that investigator said they couldn't find anything. Okay, so here we are with, okay, the next step. Let's see if Clint will resign. And we're doing that through this resolution. He hasn't resigned. He's sitting in here. So are we hoping that if this goes out today, then we'll see his resignation? Because if you're sitting in here, Mr. Patterson, are you going to resign?
No, I'm not. I'm not. I don't think the allegations in the resolution, you know, rise to the level of facts that I should resign for. If it was for performance, then, you know, have you talked to anybody about my performance? Have you talked to my colleagues? Have you looked at my performance review? Does anybody have, you know, any confidence that I can't, no confidence in me that I can do the job? I've never heard anything like that. The chief hasn't asked me to resign. He still must feel that I have the ability to do this job. I've been doing it for 6 years. I rose up through the ranks. I think you guys probably would have heard if I... Thank you. Yeah, I guess it died. Hope that's not a sign, but Yeah, I did have a lack in entering these courts, and there's no time frame in the AG law, and I thought, well, you know, we'll probably never have a case in the Eastern or the Western districts of Oklahoma. Why spend the you know, nation's resources to pay just the application fee? And if we ever do have a case in there, I could pay it and get the application within a matter of days, so... Yeah, that's why that didn't get done. I did the Northern District. We're located in the Northern District, so that's where, you know, our cases would go. So I did that. There was a delay because we didn't have a case in the Northern District. But once it looked like we were headed there, and you guys asked me, I got that done. And as far as the membership stuff goes, the initial reports, you know, states that there's no wrongdoing. I clearly marked the form correctly. I filled it out. It was 2004. That predates our own constitution. So now the new report, I'm sure there's probably going to cover all the mistakes in the original report. I haven't even seen it yet, so I can't speak to it really. But as far as this resolution asking for my resignation, I don't think it rises to that level, and I'm not prepared to submit a resignation. I appreciate the, you know, mercy to fall on my sword, but I don't think that's necessary.
Congressman Keene and then Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thanks, Mr. Patterson, and I'm glad you said something there. So you said chief hasn't called for your resignation, but, and this has never happened as long as I've been a part of this government. The AG's not under the chief. The AG and treasurer specifically aren't. Only we can discipline him even. So I got a question. I'm close to people here. I'm aware of well over 30 ethics complaints filed with your office. Has there ever been action by the AG's office on one of them, on a single one? Are you even at liberty to answer that?
As far as filing in court?
No, filing with your office. They go to your office to file the
ethics. Yeah, yes.
Has there ever been action by your office on the actual complaint, and has anyone seen relief?
There's only been action on one, but nobody's seen relief. And if you want to know why, it's because of the way the ethics law is written. The ethics law requires you to have standing. Standing means you have some type of injury from the act committed, and most people can't get through that barrier. They can't show an actual injury, and that's why the majority of them have to be screened out, just because we have to follow the law.
Thank you, but would you agree that you're not directly under the chief, though, supervision?
No, independent, but I respect his opinion.
Okay, thank you, and I'm glad you provided input. Like I said, I know of one person who rode off into the sunset, and she had to hire an attorney, and she got a big settlement. She's the only person I know that's ever. If it takes us getting better too, that's something we need to re-examine. So, yeah, it's pretty disturbing. Thank you.
Congresswoman Redcorn.
Thank you, Chair. So for a point of clarification, as far as the membership investigation and hearing is concerned, we have a report from the initial investigation that led to the hearing. We only have transcripts of the hearing. We do not have a final report from the membership committee as a result of the hearings.
Congressman Keene, you asked to be recognized again?
Yeah, that was actually my, the final will have a finality with possible recommendations moving forward. We just literally have the transcript of what the hearing, that's it, thank you.
Any other committee member? Speaker Shaw.
Thank you. So what I'm looking at right now, the transcripts, but also there's quite a bit of narrative before you get into the transcript part. So you're telling me that we're waiting on an additional report? And if that's the case, do we know when it will come?
Congresswoman Whitehorn.
I spoke to the membership chair before he left today, and he said that he sent it to clerks a few days ago, and it's been sent out to Congress. I'm looking at, I'm trying to find it in my email. I have it up in my PDF.
Chair.
Clerk.
Sorry. There was a transcript that was sent out, and then there also was an investigation report that was sent out.
Thank you. Congresswoman Rivard?
Yes, thank you. So let's make sure, because I'm going back to our hearing that we had at gaming, okay, because that's all I'm familiar with. But I felt like in the rules, when we looked at holding a hearing, that the rules state that there's certain things that you have to do. And I thought that one of them was a report out of the from the hearing. And I may be way off, but that's what I remember.
Congresswoman? Hold on, clerk. Go ahead. And then Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Membership does have a meeting that's coming on the 15th, and they will discuss the membership hearing final report.
Thank you. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Let me open it up. So, July 31st, when was the hearing? What date was the hearing? Does anyone know?
It was on July 10th.
So, July 31st, there is a to the Membership Committee, Osage Nation Congress, July 31st, 2025, investigation of Osage Nation Attorney General Clinton Patterson. You have that in your email on September 5th. That's the updated investigation report.
Okay, but that's not the report from committee.
It's the July 31st. That's the report they had generated. So what exactly is it that you're looking for other than this report from the attorney that was here representing the membership committee? He wrote a final report.
So I think, Chair, if I may, there's just maybe a discrepancy of is this the final. The clerk just mentioned, they're discussing in their committee a final committee report. Was that final committee report they're discussing that was sent out to Congress? Is that what you're saying? Here, like recently?
Go ahead.
I have not received a final report. I just have the investigation report. And then on the membership meeting, it is listed as agenda item number 5, membership hearing final report.
Thank you for the clarification.
Madam Chair.
Congresswoman Potts, go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm happy to also clarify. The final investigative report from Mr. Hibbs has been sent to all of Congress. The membership committee plans to discuss it on Monday, and if we choose to issue a final report from the committee will do so. But that is not a requirement anywhere in rules.
So this is it.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, go ahead.
So the report dated July 31st, is that report Congressman Potts?
Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is the final report from Mr. Hibbs, the investigator that was hired by the membership committee. Yes.
Any more discussion? Anyone? All right. Well, we can either postpone, or if there's action, everyone knows what they can do. So I'm not going to sit here in silence. I'm not going to do that. So go ahead.
I have one more question for Attorney General Patterson. So, Attorney General, I would have to look at the transcripts, but I believe that you told us that you testified during the committee hearing that you were not in all district courts as of the time of the committee hearing. Is that correct? Did you say that, correct?
I did say that. I had not submitted the applications at that point now.
Okay. So I'd like to make an amendment to my resolution, because I stayed in the resolution number 5, the Osage Nation Attorney General Clinton Patterson has failed to fulfill the eligibility requirements for the past 65 months tenure as Chief Law Enforcement Officer of the Osage Nation by not applying for or being admitted to the Eastern and Western U.S. District Courts. I guess that is not a false statement, though, because you just now did it in the past 2 months, maybe?
Within the past 2 months, within a few days after the membership hearing.
Okay. So that truly isn't a false statement, so I guess I'm not going to strike that right now. Okay. And I guess the last thing that I want to say about this is, you'll read in this report that I believe that what was found in that report, that he did not fill those applications out. He filled those applications out correctly. You did. I believe that. But what I take issue to, and what I've written here, is that that Clint Patterson, our Attorney General, applied for and obtained a certificate of Indian degree blood for his non-native adopted child in 2004, and he admitted that he did that. That was his application he filled out. Whether he filled out the application correct with all the boxes checked or not, I'm not debating that. I'm just saying that he did do that, and he got a non-native child, adopted child, a CDIB card. That's what this resolution says. And then by using that CDIB card, he obtained a membership for that membership was obtained. It says the Osage Nation Attorney General non-native adopted daughter was placed on the Osage membership roll in 2010 using that CDIB card as evidence of Osage descent. I didn't say that Mr. Patterson did it or not. The fact is his non-native adopted daughter did get admitted membership to the Osage Nation. So that's what this resolution states. It's not stating that you did anything criminal, because I believe what the report says, that there was no, that they can't find criminal activity. I'm stating the facts that in this resolution of how it was presented in the hearing. So I just wanted to say that.
Chair.
Go ahead.
Yeah, if I could respond, well, using that set of facts, then you should say that you have no confidence in the membership department.
Well, they're the one that's not the subject of, they're not subject to an investigation of the membership committee.
You guys can.
Go ahead.
I mean, I think you can investigate the membership department, the membership committee. They're the ones who issued the cards. I don't. Oh, thank you.
Congresswoman Rebar.
Okay, thank you. Well, and I'm glad we're having this discussion, and I'll abide by your time limit because I think it's a big discussion. This is a problem. My problem. Yeah, Clint, shame on you. Also, I mean, I just hate the whole thing. I think it's, you know, I just hate all of it. All of it. The membership, the application process, but the worst part, I can't sit here without saying that the fault is on the Department of Interior people. Where's that resolution to sue them again or add to? They're the ones that gave this non-native, I'm sorry, I don't mean disrespect your, you know, your child. I'm just saying somebody, the Department of Interior issued a CDIB to a non-Osage. Again, not once, again, multiple times. But we're sitting here with Clint up here at the podium. I want to talk to that guy, the Department of Interior. That's a bigger issue, you guys. We're getting ready to celebrate the anniversary of our Constitution that allows us to decide who's an Osage. And again, we're sitting here looking at the Osage and not looking at the Department of Interior, because guess what, guys? You can't undo that CDIB. That child, this non-Osage, as far as the Department of Interior is concerned, is Osage, along with other people, people we know. But nobody wants to talk about that problem. I think we got a way bigger issue here. And I wish the membership committee would have addressed that issue first. How did this person get a CDIB? That's the problem. We even still, and I hope we're not still doing it, where everybody's like, well, let's make sure the Department of Interior puts a check mark to say that that person's Osage, because we don't need them to tell us who's Osage. We can do that. They have no special power. They have no more documents than we have. If you're telling me that our own people can't decide who's Osage, there's a problem. But the bigger problem is the person with the trust responsibility issued a CDIB that we can't undo. Now, we can sit here all day and get rid of Clint Patterson, but the problem still exists.
Congressman.
Madam Chair.
Congressman, I've got.
Thanks, Chair.
Hold on. We've got 5 more minutes on this, and then we're going to move to budgets. And we can come back. We've got a lot of meetings scheduled, but after this, we're going to go to budgets. We got 5 minutes. And in that order, I've got Congressman King, Congressman Potts, and then Congresswoman Whitehorn.
So when I'm not here, I'm in court. I'll be quick. We have attorneys who make 6 figures. I am disturbed why we pay outside attorneys to do things like criminal prosecutions, our reservation stuff. You see what I'm saying? We're paying these attorneys $300 or $400 an hour. That's why we fund our AG. The Seminole Nation is similar to us. They just hire an Edmund firm to do it. That's their AG. So, you know, as long as if your office is going to keep acting, you know, like, well, we're going to have a task. We're just going to pay another outside attorney to come in. Maybe we need to reexamine how we want to treat the AG's office, right? Because we already fund them millions of dollars. And then they're contracting out their work to other outside attorneys. It's not like some complex tax derivative case or something like that. Like I said, I'm talking about criminal prosecutions, arguing the reservation, stuff like that. I guess what I'm just saying is let's try to keep it a little more in-house from one attorney to another. Thank you.
Congressman Potts, go ahead.
Madam Chair, I yield.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, go ahead.
Well, I was just wanting to agree with Congresswoman Rivard to some extent that I do believe that The Department of Interior has not watched out for our membership role the way it should from the very beginning of our 1906 role. I agree with that. But I think that what I heard you say is that you're in disagreement that some non-native person can come and be on Osage, an Osage role, right? Go ahead.
Thank you. What I'm saying is that, Congresswoman Whitehorn, is that maybe a couple years ago, our membership office was requiring our people, Osage people, to get a CDIB along with their membership card, even if they didn't want a CDIB card.
That's wrong.
And I don't agree with that.
Me
that
too.
Was part of their, even though the law says may, they were saying to get a membership card, you had to have a CDIB. And so that was going on just a couple years ago. But even going backwards, what I'm saying is that, a lot of this fault is on the Department of Interior.
Because a non-native person got on an Osage roll. And all I'm saying is we have an attorney general right now who made application for a non-native adopted child to be on our rolls. That's our attorney general. So, that's what I'm saying. That if you agree that it's not right for a non-native child to be put on Osage rolls, well, somebody in 2004 filled out an application for a non-native child to be considered an Osage person. That's to me, it's that simple. And maybe it's not that simple to the rest of you. And that's okay.
We are getting very close to the 30-minute mark. And we've got budgets. And our rules say that we're going to address these budgets. So I have Congresswoman Redcorn, then the Attorney General wants to be recognized. And then let's just go from there. Go ahead.
Mine can be more of a statement at this point because I feel like we're probably going to readdress this resolution at some point and another time in this committee. So, but one thing that I did not see happen in the membership committee investigation or hearing process that I do feel like is worth talking about in comparison to this timeline of events is also the evolution of our law as it relates to membership. And I would like to see what the law said at the time of application as far as membership was concerned and where it evolved to at the various places in the timeline of this. It's never been discussed. And I know, and without pulling out the changes and making my own dissertation on it, I know our law has undergone a lot of reform as it pertains to membership. Never once have we had a conversation that maybe the law was followed at the time. Maybe doesn't follow now, doesn't track now. That's fine. That's a fair argument for now. The application wasn't made now. So I, again, will probably come back to this, but I feel like it has to be a conversation that you look at the history of our law as you're looking at the history of this timeline of events to line it up with, especially in this scenario where you're raising an issue of removal of our attorney general. This issue is due the historical research. So we can consider those things. It wasn't done in the committee. Here we are now. And I feel like the bar has got to be set high when we're asking our appointed officials to either resign or we're approaching removal conversation. That's my thoughts.
Madam Chair, as a point of information, that is detailed in our report, both of our reports.
Okay, Attorney General. Patterson, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for those remarks. That's exactly what I was going to say. The application was in 2004, which was under a previous constitution, not our current constitution, and that was the application process. My family's head right is long gone. We weren't Osages before that, before 2004. We weren't considered. And they said we could be. So we asked for applications. That's what they sent. We filled it out, and that's what we submitted. It was never my intention to say, oh, my adopted daughter has Osage blood now. That's what we wanted to do to be on the roll.
Are you done?
Thank you. Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. We need to get to budgets. So without objection, I'm going to postpone ONCR 2519 to the call of the chair.
Second.
There's no objection. It's all right. All right. We are going to move up to ONCA 2594, an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch for the Osage Nation in the amount of $13,244,615 in non-tribal self-governance funds and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Rivard. You have the floor, and we are starting with Section 8, Law Enforcement.
Okay, so I think Mr. Williams is in training, and so we have with us Miss Cherokee Chishawala, who works for ONPD, and so you're here to discuss their budget. You ready?
Yes.
Go ahead, Cherokee.
In regards to the SG funds, there's really not much to explain in that. That budget covers half of the chief of police / secretary of public safety and positions. The only other thing in here is the cost of detention.
All right, committee, questions? You just explained that so well. No one has one single question, Cherokee. Good for you.
They're tired of seeing me.
All right. What else do you have?
Can I jump down to law enforcement's tribal? Alexis says
you,
no.
You cannot, because that is a separate bill. Alexis knows. She knows that's a separate bill and that you're not going to be able to jump down to it. But
listen, I was just trying.
We only have three sections for non-tribal, so this will go pretty. It'll go pretty quick. All right, you'll be back up. All right.
I was just messing with
you. Yeah. Okay. Well, you take a seat. We'll hear you back in a minute. All right. All right. Well, if there's no other questions, then we're gonna move on to Section 9, Office of Self-Governance. Candy, you're up. You have the floor.
Thank you. You will see our budget this year is smaller than our budget was last year by $136,913. The reason it was so high in 25 was we were updating our self-governance strategic plan, and we did some traveling all over the United States to get input from our constituents. And we went to the self-governance annual conference, which we do every year, and we had some professional fees for attorneys and consultants for negotiations. So one of the reasons it was less is because it was funded with one-time funding in the spring session.
Okay, committee, any questions? All right, thank you. No questions, we'll move to Section 10, probate.
I don't have a probate.
Andy, are you gonna speak to that?
Yes. Amy, you can speak to it if you want to.
Chair, is that okay?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, that is the one that will be dependent on the Amendment 10. So it's a small portion of self-governance funding. It would be, if it was a full year, it was $22,133, but it's $16,600 because we were expecting a January 1 start date.
And that is one of the reasons that I was so, that this committee needed to make a decision. They were going to have to make a decision on this resolution. that impacts you and the Attorney General's office, and it just does. Congresswoman Redcorn, then Congressman Keene, then Congresswoman Lemon, did you have something? And then Candy, then Congresswoman Rivard. Go ahead.
I'm just mostly making a recommendation. I'm not going to give my opinion on this one way or another, being as the resolution is on the floor now. So I think the best course of action for this committee would just be to let it go out, be as reviewed, and then go to appropriations. And then if it needs to be removed, then fine, we'll do it there.
So. Yeah, that's, I agree. And I think that that's how all of the committees at this point are handling their bills. All right, Congressman Keene, then Congresswoman Lemon, then Congresswoman Rebar.
I just don't want us to get discouraged, because there's very few tribes that even have their own probate code. So this is some really complex, hard stuff. So that's all I want to say. Thank you.
Congresswoman Lemon, then Congresswoman Rivard.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was going to speak to what second speaker mentioned about the notations that are being made by Appropriations Chair and Appropriations Vice, knowing that we need to make some possible amendments in appropriations, and so I trust that they're going to take care of that. I'm glad we're having the conversation. Am I glad that it's going to go pretty quick in session? I'm not, because uncomfortable conversations are where healing happens, and conversations that cause us discomfort aren't bad, they're good. And you think that 1906 Act wasn't uncomfortable? You know, so I think that we could have taken more time, but you know what? It's okay, because we can continue to have the conversations, and we can not be upset about it and learn from it and hopefully heal some of our generational traumas and try to understand where they're coming from and where some other people are coming from. So I would like for us to take it on. I know that we can do it because, well, multi-year funding agreement has a whole lot of programs that come from the U.S. government that we're doing ourselves. So I believe we can, but it's just probably not the time. Thank you.
Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, so I was going to say that I wanted to, as mentioned, we'll get it out. I will not be striking it. I'll let somebody else do that. But we will. Do I think that that resolution was dependent upon this and had to get moved out quick because of this? Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. That section could have sat there all the way. Honestly, I didn't want to move. I wanted that discussion to stay here all the way through the end of session, because it's important. And it isn't. And I know now, maybe doing probate as a probate officer may be hard and complex, but to do it, to take it from the Bureau and bring it over, is not hard, and it is not complex. I just want to make that clear. We've done it multiple times. This government, Osage Nation, we know how to do this. We have a record that shows how many programs we have taken over from the Bureau successfully. It is not hard, and it is not complex. It's necessary. It's necessary. But we don't see that right now. And again, if we want to fund it tribally, that's fine. I'll do that all day. But you're still missing the point. When you take that from that Bureau to some degree, it does strengthen your sovereignty, and it does get you a seat at the table. Now, Mr. Patterson may say that, no, it may not be a deal breaker, but not in my career. And I've been here a long time. When there's money on the table, all of a sudden, those non-Indians, they want to sit with you. All of a sudden, they want to talk to you, because they want to take it from you. We're sitting here talking about 20-some thousand. But these homes that have people sitting in them are people. They can't get through the mourning period because they're sitting there. They still have probate issues. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to take that pitiful $22,000 and say, give me a seat at the table. But we didn't. We didn't. And that's done. And I'll be quiet about it for a little bit. till we get into appropriations. I might throw this in commerce, I don't know, just for funsies. But I'm just saying that I agree, and if you're keeping track, then we'll have to take this and those other topics that I wanted to discuss here. We're going to have to take those out too, because they're still going to have to be addressed on our agenda, because I think Speaker had put some of those, or some of those still in that MIFA in natural resources, right? Is that where the other two are? Okay, so that those discussions will be probably really quick, I'm sure, or probably not even discussed. So if you want right now, I can take those out of this bill as the sponsor. From what we gather today, I don't think anyone wants to discuss it. I don't mind doing that at all. So you don't even have to add it to your agenda as a section to discuss, is what I'm saying. I can remove it.
Go ahead.
Well, I think that the sections are a property of the committee. I don't think that it could be amended out by amendment, but I thought we were doing all of that in appropriations. So I don't know if you can actually, since the bill is already the property of a committee, I don't know that you can actually amend or change your bill right now in process.
But I could take, could we, Chair, if I may, or Speaker, I don't know how this works, because the Speaker assigned those sections to natural resources. What I was saying is you don't have to put them on your agenda at all for discussion. Or we could wait till we get to appropriations and I can amend it out of the bill over there, so that way we don't have to discuss it again. Because
hold on a minute. We need to be recognized. Y'all are speaking over each other. It was my understanding that all amendments were going to be done in appropriations. That's how we've been going. I realize that not everyone's on the same page when we're talking about that resolution. And we could talk about that 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, and fundamentally people feel the way they feel. And I don't think anyone talking about it another 10 hours or three more days, we're gonna change anyone else's mind. I believe that it's just a division. I don't think anyone's scared to compact or contract. You are right, Congresswoman. We have social services, we have real estate, sir, we have a lot of things, but for some people, minerals is a non-negotiable. I don't know all those reasons. And we could have sat here and heard everyone's reason and then listened to everyone's reason that did support it. But we do have a vote on that resolution. And I just, from my bottom of my heart, we weren't going to change anyone's mind. We have our votes. And that is why I was ready to get it out, because we could have spent from now until spring session talking about that. I don't think that anyone's against some compacting and contracting. Clearly, we've been doing it for a long time, and you know that. Wildland fire, social, all these other things, but two topics, minerals. Probate did come up, and it can still be amended on the floor. Probate seems to be the one area that a lot of people said, yeah, we're ready. We want to see it. We want to make it better. If it doesn't happen, that doesn't prohibit executive and this body from providing probate services in some way, shape, or form to the executive branch to help our people, though. I mean, everyone agrees with that. No one said that's an issue. So, I mean, if an amendment's going to be done to this section to take something out or leave it in, for money and call it something else, and it's not compacting or contracting language, but it's a service, right, to the, maybe not here in non-tribal funds, but in the tribal budget, I don't think anyone would disagree with that. But it's my understanding that we're going to do all that in appropriations, and I think that's, we should just kind of continue with that. I think if we change it up now for this one thing, then that's going to, it's, you know, gonna get messy.
All right. Well, if no one has any more questions or discussion about ONCA 2594, then let the record reflect, Clerk, that the committee has discussed. Are you going with certain language? It discussed and reviewed. And those were the only three sections that we had. So is it, have other committees been reporting it out and then it's gonna go over to appropriations?
In the past, what we've done is we have reported it out as reviewed, but we still do a committee report, and then that committee report will be sent to appropriations.
Okay, and you're still using the language with the due pass recommendation per our rules. Okay, well.
And will that be done when you're completely finished with the bill then? Your committee's completely finished with 2594 right now, is that correct?
That's correct. We only were assigned three sections, and we just discussed and reviewed, and no one has anything further.
Okay.
So the chair will entertain a motion.
Chair.
Yes.
Motion to, I just lost all my words. Motion to send ONCA 2594 to Congress with a due pass recommendation, and having reviewed sections 8, 9, and 10.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. It passes. Thank you. We are now on ONCA 25-103, an act to provide an appropriation to the executive branch of the Osage Nation in the amount of $11,007,052 in tribal and non-tribal funds, and to establish an alternate effective date. The sponsor is Congresswoman Rivard, and we have Section 14 roads before us, and that's the only section that we have. You have the floor. You have the floor.
Okay, thank you. Is Director Carr on the call?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Hello, Director Carr. We're discussing your Section 14 of 25-103, your road special projects.
Well, it's not much to it. It's road special projects is our interest monies derived off our federal funds. And I have about $4,700 in there for supplemental salaries, and the rest of it is for materials and construction. We use this budget for special projects that come up that either at the time don't meet or will not meet the standards for our federal funds. Examples of this year we used it, we built a couple different platted roads in Gray Horse Village that we could not use our federal funds on because they weren't in our inventory, which is a lengthy process. But now that we've got them built, we're in the process of getting them in our inventory. So in the future, we can improve them with our federal funds. But for now, we could not and had to use this special funds project. And there's not much to it other than that.
Thanks, Justin. Committee? Questions? Not one of y'all can drum up one good question for Justin. He's been on this call all day long. All right. This was it. This was our only section. So, Chair, entertain motion.
Chair.
Yep, go ahead.
Motion to send ONCA 25-103 to Congress with a due pass recommendation, having reviewed Section 14.
Motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
Any opposed, say no. It passes. We have one final bill. We're scheduled till 5. It's 4:10. We've been here since 2:30. It's up to the committee. We can either take a 5-minute recess or we can just keep going. And we have section 22, 23, 39, 43, 46, 48, 63, 65, and 67. So what's the committee's preference? Keep going or take a 5-minute break and come back and start addressing these other sections?
I think we should take a break. There are several sections, just a short break to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Without objection, we will recess for 5 minutes.